The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Manchester City Carabao Cup preview. It's the semi-final, one step away from Wembley. And despite what I said on the live show that I did this morning, it isn't the first leg, because there isn't two legs, is there? Joining me is Joe Smith, who's going to explain to me why I got that wrong, and there's only one leg in this semi-final.
Yeah, there's only one leg. It's massive, this game. And
mahoosive.
You can look at it as the League Cup, or you can look at it as, you know, the most minor of the trophies United are involved in, but Ollie getting a trophy, beating Manchester City, beating, you know, a team that has dominated this cup for the last few years, as we'll see in a moment, is a huge game for United. I know, and again, it's all about momentum. All good seasons, the one key thing that all teams have, if they want to go on a league run, if you want to go on any run, is momentum and consistency. And it's a massive part of coming out of this game, coming out of this week where we've got City, then Watford, then who's the one?
Burnley,
we've got. Then Liverpool. Those four games are absolutely huge. Two cup games in a row, then Burnley and Liverpool in the league. And we need momentum if we're going to go through that. And it's a really tough game. It's going to be a really tough game, but it's a massive game.
It is a massive game. You've sort of spoken about momentum and the importance and sort of getting that first trophy under your belt. Yeah. Obviously, this has got an added edge. It's a derby. Mm. We know what goes on with a derby. We're all well aware of that. But getting that first trophy, City have sort of made this not a priority, but they've always, pains me to say it, they've almost made it their own and they've focused on it and they like to get that trophy and, you know, win that trophy and then sort of build on that for the league. And we've seen it in the past, didn't it? Yeah. Jose Mourinho's Chelsea used to do it. You can see there the last five League Cup winners. In the middle of all that blue dross is the 2017 win by Manchester United and Jose, which helps us in a way, didn't it? Because it gave us that little bit of momentum. Eased the pressure off Jose because in the league we were terrible and we went on and won the Europa League on the back of it as well, didn't we? You felt that League Cup, the Zlatan final, if you will, and also beating City en route to it, gave us that little bit of an edge, didn't it, that season?
Yeah, it's a massive cup. And it's one of the biggest reasons why it's massive is because usually the final's in February or March, whenever it is. That's been postponed a little bit this season, obviously to account for the fact that hopefully we'll have fans in the ground by the time the final rolls around, which I think is going to be in April this year.
Yes, it's been moved back slightly.
Which is slightly frustrating in terms of getting a trophy under your belt, using that as a way to sort of progress and a bit of momentum, as I said before, to build on. But it's still going to be there. Those final weeks of the season, the FA Cup final still in May, the League Cup final still in May, the Europa League final still in May, sometimes in June. I think we've seen the Champions League and the Europa League before. And, of course, the end of the Premier League is still in May. So getting a trophy, even if it's just a month before that, would still be huge. And you look at that there, it's four of the last five City have won. They've actually won six of the last eight, I think we worked out before, which is, I mean, incredible. And it's clear that they take this cup as a priority. And I think that United needs to start taking its priority. A lot of managers, like I said, I think Pep did it when he first joined City. Jose did it at United. A lot of managers have done it in the past where you use the League Cup as a springboard for success as a team. And any trophy is, especially when it's your first trophy, no longer can United fans, can opposition fans, can pundits say, you know, Solskjaer's done good for United, but he's never won a trophy.
And
as simple as it is to say that, and as minor as the League Cup may be, or you may consider the League Cup to be, not being able to say Ollie's never won anything goes away if we win this. Yeah. And it's the first chance we've got. And also, let's not forget, we're already in the semi-final. You know, one more game after this one and we've won it. Whereas you can prioritise the Europa League, the Premier League, the FA Cup. The third round of the FA Cup doesn't start until, you know, the weekend against Watford. This is already a semi-final. We have to go for this. And, you know, if nothing else, to stop them winning 7 of the last 9, which would be just ridiculous.
It's funny because going back to that one in the 2016-17 season, I don't even remember, well, I'm sure you do remember, but when it was Pep's first season, Jose's first season at United, we beat them at Old Trafford. Pep played a weakened team. He came out afterwards and said how proud he was of his players and all this nonsense. The Emmy ended the thing about how United beat City's reserves and all this other drivel. But fast forward, when United won it that season, I, unfortunately, in my previous life as a reporter, was at the City press conference a week later when Pep was asked about the fact United had already picked up a trophy. Jose had won his first trophy at United. Mm. Do you regret playing a weakened team against United earlier on in the competition? He got a little bit tetchy, shall we say, and was like,
as he tends to do.
Pep has this reputation of being this lovely, charismatic guy. He can be very difficult in press conferences, especially when he's not had success that week or whatever, or not won that week. He got really tested, and he was like, it seemed to get to him. Now, I'm not saying this is the reason, but he's won it every year since. He's obviously took it more serious. He doesn't tend to play weak in teams. He doesn't tend to sort of rest on his laurels with it. He likes to win it, and they've been very successful in it, as we can see there with, as you said, not just the 4 out of 5, but also even before Pep, they had a pretty good record in it. And I think behind the Scousers now, they've won it more times than anyone.
Yeah, it's clear that he's taken it as a priority. And I think that's it shows, you know, the fact that this is a big trophy to win, and it's more a trophy, less for this trophy cabinet, but more for the morale and the sort of winning spirit of a team. It's a huge trophy, and it's easy to overlook that. And it's one of those, as people like to use the word, intangibles, where you sort of go, well, it's only the League Cup, what does that matter? But it's a great springboard, as we've mentioned, for so many other things. And just getting the winning spirit, the mentality that we're good enough to beat top teams, we're good enough to handle pressure, we're good enough to convert what is decent form in cups into actually we can win trophies. The mentality thing, and it's something we've seen this season, mentality makes such a huge difference to clubs. I don't think any trophy quite does it, the mentality, in terms of how you go from winning nothing to winning Champions League, Premier League, quite like the League Cup. I think it's really important for that.
Do you think that League Cup, other than the FA Cup, might be one of the biggest domestic trophies you can win? Domestic cups you can win?
I would say behind the FA Cup and the Premier League, it's probably the biggest one you can win.
I think you're right. I agree. It's weird, isn't it? Because we actually have played City quite a bit in this competition. Mm-hmm. Over the last 10 years, I think we played them 5 times. I think we've got a graphic there that you can see. And it's been a bit of a mixed bag. If you go back to 2010, we had that fantastic couple of games against them with a last-minute Rooney winner on it. More recently, of course, last season, they knocked us out, although we did get a win at the Etihad, which is bittersweet because you get the win, but you still go out of the competition. As we all know, as I said earlier, this is a one-off. This isn't a two legs this time round. It should be because it's a semi, but it's not. It's one game. How do you feel about it, Joe? Do you feel like because it's one game, looking at that record, you can see, as I said earlier, you can almost dismiss the 2010 one a little bit because it wasn't quite the same City team that it became. But how do you see that? Does that play into our hands a little bit? It's a one-off, or does that help them?
I don't think it helps either team. Right. I think it really is a toss of a coin. As you can see there, they beat us 3-1 at Old Trafford and then we beat them away.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of the case that in recent years, United have done better at the Etihad, City have done better at Old Trafford. So I just think that really it just sort of concentrates what is, generally speaking, a tight game against them recently. Obviously, the 6-1 was a separate thing altogether. But since then, we've looked pretty good against City.
Under Ollie we have, haven't we?
Yeah, certainly. And that 3-1 being basically the only blip against them. I think we beat them 3 times last season, lost once. So I don't think it really helps either team. I do worry that sometimes City have, as Chelsea found out at the weekend, City have these impossible 15 minutes where they just do things that still, let's be honest, no other team can do. They'll control the ball. They'll play it through the lines. They make these late runs to predictable places that seemingly are untrackable. And if they do that to you, and then they get a lucky goal or a nice goal from the edge of the box, if you think, it's very similar. What happened against Chelsea, the 3-0 up, it was a great goal from the edge of the box with Gundogan, very similar to the one that Bernardo Silva scored against United. Not quite in style, but in terms of the distance out and a moment of brilliance, and then just carving through. And before you know it, you're 3-0 down after 30 minutes. Very similar to how United were in the first half of that first leg last season. So if we face one of those spells from them, where it's a moment of brilliance, we get a little bit rattled and it's two more, the game's done. What we have to hope is that we're good defensively, and something we've seen this season in the few games where we have been poor, or certainly in recent weeks, the few games we've been poor, one of the problems we've had is missing chances. We saw it against PSG, we saw it against Leipzig, we saw it in the first leg against Istanbul, we've seen it against Chelsea in the Premier League, we've seen it in a lot of the games we've missed. We saw it against Leicester. We missed too many big chances.
Yeah.
And if we play City and we miss our first two big chances, I think we'll be in for a really rough night, because they'll make these little chances, they'll score them, and then after that the pressure is on and they'll keep cutting through you. And, you know, hopefully they won't go 3-0 up like they did last time, but we have to be really on it and we can't afford to miss chances.
It is annoying that this, all right, it's not two legs, it's one leg, but there's no home fans. I know I'm banging on this drum, but it is Old Trafford, but we're not going to have any fans there, which is frustrating. And it's a bit strange, this one, isn't it? Because United have sort of got our act together at home. City away from home have looked pretty strong. You look at our, I think we've got a graphic there of our last five home games, and you can see, other than the PSG game and obviously the ball draw against City, which no one wants to see again. It's got to be a more exciting game. That can't be any worse. But we have looked a lot more positive at home. And if you're going to be ultra sort of critical, you can say we've ridden our luck a little bit. But we've kept going and we've got some important wins. City away from home, you just mentioned there most recently, the Chelsea game where for 15 minutes, yes, Chelsea weren't great, but City were unplayable. Yeah. So throw in the fact there's no crowd and it's a one-off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost paper-thin margins here, isn't it, to say, I know we'll get to score predictions later, but it feels like, you know, you've got an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. There's so many things that are sort of identical here. Their away form, our home form, there's no crowd there. It's very difficult to say what's the difference between these two teams.
Yeah, and we saw with that draw, the 0-0, I almost think against City at home, the only way we can stop them scoring loads of goals is by just being defensive, like we saw in that 0-0. We saw it where we just decided we aren't going to try to make too many chances today. We are just going to try to stop Man City. And normally you would have to go, we can't be doing that. That's not what United do at home. All those things you've heard a million times. But in that case, looking back now, it probably was the right thing to do, because, as you see, we saw it led to 6-2 against Leeds, 1-0 against Wolves, 2-1 against Villa. Whereas if we'd have played expansive football and lost 3-1, like Chelsea did, or 4-1, like Arsenal did, we may well have not won those three games after
that.
That's
a great point.
So sometimes you have to look back at things slightly differently to how they felt at the time. But obviously, with it being a cup game, there's going to have to be some give here, or, you know, eventually it would be penalties. I think we're going to play a little bit more expansively than we did in that game. But again, it comes back to, we have to take our chances, because we're not going to get 9, 10, 11 chances like we did against Leeds, or 6 or 7 like we did against Wolves, or 6 or 7 like we did against Villa. We're probably going to get 3, maybe 4 chances if we're lucky. If we don't score 2 of them, it'll be done. And, you know, almost mirroring form, we've got good home form at the moment, they've got good away form at the moment. I think you sort of take all that out of it, because the worst that we've looked at home in recent weeks was the City game, and the worst they've looked away in recent weeks was the United game. So for both teams, it's kind of a chance to put that behind you and say, actually, we can attack this team. We can do better than we did in that game. But I do really think that you can almost throw the form out the window for this one, because it's such a big game and a chance for both teams to get some trophy. When, let's be honest, City have had a poor 18 months. They were pretty shocking.
By their standards, the recent standards, they haven't had a great time.
A shocking title defence last year, were they 20 points off the
awful
lead?
Awful, David Moyes-esque.
And this season, whilst they are sneaking back up the table now, they've not had a great start, like you said, by their standards. And United want to prove that we're up there with the big boys. So it's a huge game for both teams.
It's a derby, man. This is it. Never forget about whether there's crowds in Old Trafford or whatever. It is a derby. Mm. And we all know you never shut them lot up if they get a result. Going to get into the predicted 11s. Yep. Joe, I'll start with you. Who do you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to pick for this game?
Well, I've gone for a relatively, I suppose, other than Van der Beek, a team that kind of picks itself a little bit.
Okay.
But I suppose maybe not, because he often does go with Fred and McTominay, but a slightly changed team then. I've gone for De Gea, Wan-Bissaka, Bailly and Maguire, which has worked very well.
Very good. Very good combo.
As far as I'm aware, Lindelof's still out, which we may find out more about that in the press conference, but for the sake of consistency, I'm going to go with
If he was fit, let's just say for an argument's sake, if he was fit, would you pick Lindelof?
No.
Or do you think Ollie would?
I think Ollie would. I wouldn't. Just at the moment, because Eric Bailly's looking great and
he's
fit.
He's looking like
so
the
why not
greatest
make the most,
defender.
Yeah, make hay while the sun shines. Yeah. Like, while he's fit, play him, because he ain't going to be fit forever.
No, and that's a shame.
Yeah, Maguire, obviously, ever-present mainstay in that defence. And then I've gone for Telles, because I wouldn't be surprised for him to play Luke Shaw, but I just think if we are going to go for this a bit more, if we are going to try to win this game, I think Telles may be a good way to do that. And with the fact I'm playing a diamond, we may lack a bit of width moving forward. Okay. So I expect and hope Telles will provide that width. Then, like I said, I've gone for a diamond in midfield, Matic at the base with Van der Beek, Pogba and Bruno. I think the industry and the energy of Van der Beek will work well against City, because obviously they like to sort of dominate and pack out that midfield with a lot of quick passing. I think Van der Beek reads the game slightly better than McTominay, and you know, Matic is a bit better defensively than Fred. And also, I expect Matic to drop into that gap left by Telles, as we've seen him do in a lot of games.
Well, let's
in recent
not forget
weeks.
As well, for the 3-1 that you mentioned earlier in the League Cup, Nemanja Matic saved that for me from being an absolute massacre.
Could have been 5 or 6.
It could have. He came on and he was the forgotten man when he steps onto that pitch. Everyone thought he was going to go in the January transfer window. Came on. Absolutely steadied the ship, because they were overrunning us in midfield and made it slightly competitive as a football match. I mean, the tie, let alone the game, the actual both legs were almost running away from us. And I was genuinely concerned we were going to see a 6-1 or something, or 6-0. He came on, did a fantastic job, and sort of kicked on a little bit from there, didn't he? And ended up getting a new deal. So I can understand why you've gone for him, why you think Ollie will go for him.
Yeah, and he was very good in the recent games he's playing as well. I think the Wolves game, wasn't it?
I think so.
Where alongside Eric Bailly, he was probably our man of the match.
Yes.
So I put him in. And Paul Pogba, again, alongside Eric Bailly, was probably man of the match against Villa.
Yes.
And he's on a good run of form at the moment. He seems to have found his form from the start again. So I'd go with Eric Bailly, and of course, Bruno Fernandes. Where would we be without him? Can't live, you know, other teams can't live with him. We can't live without
him. Is without you, Bruno,
exactly.
As Mariah Carey and Nielsen sang, if memory serves.
So yeah, Bruno in the side there. Of course, I'd be stunned if you don't put him in yours.
Yes.
And then again, obviously with the diamond in midfield, I've gone for the two strikers. No Cavani, of course, still seeing out his suspension. Martial and Rashford as a sort of split striker. Ollie's done this before against City as well, where he likes to put, I think it was Dan James and Rashford he played in the past.
Yes.
Where he likes to put two quick attackers that can split out. So you can put, Telles can play it down the line to Rashford, Wan-Bissaka can play it down the line to Martial. But also if those fullbacks are pushing on, like I expect Telles in particular to do, we can find them waiting for crosses in the middle, like we saw Martial do against Aston Villa. It's a bit more of a compact midfield. I think we might need that against City. And again, the energy of Van der Beek, the positioning and defensive acumen of Matic, I think will be really important to stifling City's attacks.
Listening to your team, it makes a lot more sense than mine. As you were talking then, a little bit of me was dying inside each time you said something, because I thought, why have I left him out? Why didn't I think of that? Why have I think Ollie's not going to do that? We'll go into my team. You look at my style 11. Joe's, yours made a lot of sense. Mine, slightly less so, but bear with me. I've gone with Dean Henderson. He has been used in the cup before.
Yeah.
And Ollie's made no sort of, he's made no secret of the fact that he is going to rotate for certain games with Dean Henderson and David De Gea. So I brought in Dean Henderson.
That might be a good
chat. I don't feel like it's a massive step down. It's very sort of close margins. I think David De Gea just about shades it. I think he's having a decent season, but I don't think you look at it and go, well, he's not going to bring Dean Henderson for this game.
Mm.
A derby, a semi-final against the City, not a chance. I think he will do. I've gone with Luke Shaw, Eric Bailly, Harry Maguire and Aaron Wan-Bissaka as my back four. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, no-brainer, loves playing against Sterling. Mm-hmm. Eric Bailly, for reasons you've mentioned, not only that Lindelof could be out, but also the fact Eric Bailly has been immense the last couple of games. Harry Maguire, he's not going anywhere, so I'm going to drop him for this game. I've gone with Shaw over Telles, purely because Telles slightly does concern me defensively. I get where you're coming from, and you made a very good point, but I just feel that Luke Shaw is having a decent spell of form.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's got a level to go up. I don't think he's anywhere near his pre-injury form, as some people have claimed, but he's having a decent spell. You made a really great point about Nemanja Matic. Yeah, I've not picked him. Well, I even backed your point up and now undermine myself.
You've got Fred and McTominay there, people can sit at home. Ollie does tend to trust this in the big game. He trusted it twice against PSG. He trusted it in that crucial Everton game where people were saying, if you lose this, you're gone.
Yeah.
He does like to go Fred and McTominay. We saw it again against Leeds, which, you know, isn't the game of this magnitude. But in terms of not losing the game, it's a crucial game not to lose. So, yeah, go on. Sorry, but I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Also, as well, the thing that sort of... you have to remember, as you mentioned earlier, about the games are coming thick and fast. Yes, it's a derby and it's a semi-final. It's a massive game. But we've got a bit of a squad and there's more massive games on the horizon as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's almost a slight rotation, which even nowadays doesn't feel like a rotation because we've got quality. The one exception to that is probably Dan James. I've gone with him. He has an okay record against City. Mm-hmm. Did very well at the Etihad last season. Can cause them problems. So I've gone with him on the right. I've gone with Marcus Rashford, who's almost at Bruno Fernandes levels of undroppability for Ollie. Ollie doesn't tend to drop Marcus.
Never.
He doesn't he doesn't even like subbing him. Marcus, half the time, is limping around and Ollie will leave him on.
We saw it against Villa, didn't we, where Marcus looked like he couldn't track back and then he takes Bruno off. And then 2 minutes later, Rashford sprinting back with something like, I'm sure he was injured two seconds ago. So that's why he keeps him on, though.
It's like Wolves as well, isn't it? We're all going, he's having a bit of a stinker, isn't he, Marcus? Then he pops up with a winner. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I get that. And I think that, especially as well, if it matters, Marcus, proper, you know, Manc born and bred, absolute loves a game against Man City. You can see how he was hurting last time to beat us at Old Trafford. Mm. He was fuming when he did his post-match interview, and I love to see that sort of thing. Up top, I've gone with Anthony Martial. You could have gone with Mason Greenwood. He can lead the line. I think he can play as a giant. I've gone with Martial. He's got back in the goals recently. Hopefully, he can kick on, and he has a decent record against Man City. He obviously scored when we played him in the Premier League at Old Trafford last season. Him and Bruno Fernandes linked up well, and I hope they can do that again this time round.
Yeah, Marshall's got, I think it's 3 goals, 4 assists in his last 6 games for United. So he's getting back in the term goal involvements is almost feels like when people just say content when you're talking about videos. You're like, well, it's a video, isn't it? Like content, like some.
You
cool
have to join the dark side of this, don't you? Because I'm like old school, and I'm like. XG, goal involvement, what is this? And then you find that you have to sort of, sooner or later, start using it because everyone else is.
Yeah.
So,
these are the metrics that people determine whether someone is good or not on.
Yeah.
So, if you can't beat him, join him. But Martial, you can see it from watching him play. He's improving, he's getting better. No Cavani, of course. Igalo, again. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mean that. I'm not disparaging him because we love him. He's a lovely, lovely man. And his Instagram, it makes me glad to be alive. Mm. But he is the forgotten man.
He is.
And I would be stunned if he got a game against Man City. To be honest with you, I think even Watford might be a stretch for him.
Yeah, the only reason he might play is because he used to play for
him. Oh, yeah. Ollie likes that,
I think he might give him a game.
he likes his sentimental reasons. Maybe we'll see a Gallo for a Watford game, but I doubt very much we'll see him for the Manchester City game. Looking at City, in a similar way that you look at United and go, it's all about Bruno Fernandes.
Which we'll come on to in a minute.
Yeah. You look at City, don't you? Mm. And go, Kevin De Bruyne is the guy who makes them tick. Yes, they've got talent. They've got Raheem Sterling. They've got Gabriel Jesus, who's having a decent season. The defence has stepped up. Mm. You know, John Stones has sort of become the John Stones that they bought for 50 million quid all of a sudden. But for me, it still feels like Kevin De Bruyne is the one to watch for Manchester City. And, if you look there, I think he's got, 12? I think there's an assist there. 12 assists in all competitions this season. Not too shabby.
3 goals as well.
Few goals. I think he's not been scoring from his penalties in it, he's been putting away. But he's always a threat. We saw it again. You mentioned the Chelsea game. Okay, he perhaps should have scored when he went through, but he still causes a lot of problems. And it almost feels like it could be De Bruyne versus Bruno in a way, this game. Like,
that's who's going to control it?
Yeah, who's gonna be the main man? Whoever's the main man in this game out of those two is going to be on the winning team. Do you feel that way?
I do a little bit, but I do also think, like we saw against Wolves, I know Bruno got the assist for Rashford, so the point is almost moot, but each team has other players who can pop up and get you something. But it's these two players, Bruno and De Bruyne, that are the ones where these are the players that if either team could remove one player,
yeah,
you would, you know, City would take Bruno out, we'd take De Bruyne out.
Yeah.
And you know, now we'll play each other. Because that's the worry, isn't it?
So great. That's a good, I like the way you've done that.
Yeah. If, thank you. If you could pick one player to take out, you're like, right, pink slips, like, right, we're having him. You're having him. Okay, we'll play. Because, you know, Fernandes has got 9 assists, De Bruyne has got 12 assists, but Bruno's got 15 goals with it.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth are we seeing here, Jay? You're like, oh, he's got 3 less goals. He's got 3 less assists. He's got 12 more goals than him. And I'm not trying to make it one versus the other, as in who's better. We, you know, each of them do their own thing. And if you're looking at trophies won, there's no argument De Bruyne's a better player. But, you know, he's got 15 goals.
Would you swap, genuinely,
no,
right?
No chance.
Good lad.
Kevin De Bruyne, what is he, 28, 29?
I wouldn't, even if they were the same age, I wouldn't swap Bruno for anyone.
No.
I wouldn't. And you can, you got your red tinted glasses on. I wouldn't. And I think Bruno Fernandes, since he arrived at Old Trafford, out of the two players, who's been the better player? Bruno. Yeah. And for a big chunk of his United career, he's had players of, you know, sort of, I don't want to say average, but not as good ability around him as Kevin De Bruyne has. So for me, yeah, it does feel like it is going to be certainly being billed like that. I know you can look at it and you can go, well, Marcus or Gabriel Jesus or whoever can
Sterling.
Have a,
Sterling, who's dropped way off in form, by the way.
He has, or Martial or whoever can have a big say in his game. But you do feel like those are the two main men for a reason.
Yeah, you mentioned that about since Bruno's joined United.
Go on, hit me with some stats.
Since the start of the 18-19 season, so, you know, 2 years ago, roughly
seems
now.
Seems like a millennium.
It does.
A millennia ago.
Bruno Fernandes for Sporting Lisbon and Manchester United has played 127 games or made 127 appearances.
Okay.
And has had 123 goals or assists in that time. He's basically averaging a goal or assist every game for 2 years, which is fucking stunning, by the way, in case you don't know how good that
ridiculous.
Is.
Ridiculous.
And again, we always talk about exchange rates and players coming from other leagues and all that. It's got better since he joined United. His stats this season
how has that
per
happened?
Game are better now than they were at Sporting.
Do you know what, right?
Like, what are you on about?
I remember when we were linked with him, weren't we? And like, I'd seen his stats and I'd seen some clips of him and I thought, this is an exciting player. But I thought, 47 million or something. Mm. Something's got to be wrong with him here. Mm. Like, why have Real Madrid, why have Barca going for him? Oh, maybe it's just because, you know, he's in the Portuguese league, no disrespect to him. Is he going to score all those goals when he's having pot shots against the likes of, you know, I don't know, Edison and Alisson and Lloris or whoever? Yes, he is going to score those goals. Yes, he's going to score loads of goals. He's going to get loads of assists and he's going to be an absolutely amazing player. And already, 47 million looks like an absolute bargain. I know it might go up with add-ons, but you get my gist. Regardless of whether it's the Bruno Fernandes or Kevin De Bruyne show, what is the score going to be and why, Joe? Tell me now. Don't lie to me.
Oh, it's hard, isn't it? Because they can beat us. There's no. It's not one of those where, you know, it's, well, we should beat them. If they turn up and we turn up, it's still 50-50. And, you know, it's really one of them where it's like,
close.
It's really close. And recent history will tell you that, you know, I think 6 of the last 10 times we've played at Old Trafford, they've beaten us.
One of them don't count. We'd already won the league, practically.
That's true.
So I'm not counting on.
But yeah, it's really tricky. Obviously, I'm not going to... A game that I think is a toss of a coin, I'm not going to let it land on City's head or tails, whatever. They're tails, aren't they? A lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go... I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. I think it might be a big one. I'm going to go 3-2 United. I think it may be... echoing the game at the Etihad where Van Persie scored that last minute free kick.
Oh,
that kind of game
it.
Where it's,
stop
it's
it.
Back and forth. People, you know, you'd scarcely believe that just 3 weeks ago, United and City played out a stalemate of 0-0 at this very same ground. When you look at the game, oh, it's a great game today, isn't it? All that shit.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see all that. So I'm going to go 3-2 United. Really back and forth game. Going to look like it could be 5-6-0 to either team.
Yeah.
But I think we'll edge it. I think, again, as I've said already, the first two chances we make, we need to score one of them. If we miss the first two chances of the game that we create, like we did against PSG, I think it might be too late by that point. But I expect we'll get one of them, and I think we'll get a couple more as well. So I'm going to go 3-2.
3-2. I'll go the other way then. I'll go 1-0 Manchester United with a controversial 97th minute Bruno Fernandes retaking penalty.
Twice retaken.
Twice
like
retaken.
Triple cut chips.
Yeah.
Put it in the oil. Take it out of the oil. Retake it.
Exactly.
Crispy penalty goodness with steam coming off it.
Yes.
Just swallow it right.
Tastes like they're from a chip shop. That's exactly it. To be honest with you, I don't care how we win. I just want to beat those blue.
Well, don't be surprised to see it go to penalties either, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised. No, we can have a lot. I could see a 1-1 and penalties. That. I'm going either 3-2, which I think it will be, or 1-1 and penalties.
I can't stomach penalties. It's penalties. Makes you feel sick. No.
Imagine.
It's just horrible, isn't it? It was bad enough when we had penalties. I mean, we had penalties. Who was it the other season? Was it Rochdale or someone we had penalties against? It's bad enough when it's teams like that, let alone when it's City in the semi-final. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be minging in it if we beat
breaking the semi-final curse that Solskjaer has currently been under.
No,
that's what he did. He sold his soul to the devil to get the United job.
But do you know what though, right?
And they said it'll be perpetual semi-finals from now on. All semis and no finals, like in Narnia, always winter and never Christmas. That's what it is with
Solskjaer. I thought you were going to go with a different joke there, but you kept it clean. I'm proud of you.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah, always a semi, but no, yeah, anyway. you get the gist. If you're not doing so already, subscribe to the channel. What is wrong with you? Yeah, also, what's the script with the membership?
12 Days of Christmas is the giveaway we have been doing since the 26th of December, and we've taken it all the way through to the 6th of January, where we will be giving away a Sony PlayStation 5. I'm sure you're all aware of it. We're coming down to the last days of this now. Now, all you have to do is join and become a member. If you join now, you'll still be in with a chance of winning the PlayStation. Good. If you join on the day of the game, you'll still be in with a chance of winning the PlayStation. We're giving away each prize every day. And of course, the last prize will be the PlayStation. We'll be revealing the winner of the PlayStation on the review for Manchester United against Manchester City. So hopefully it's not, we lost 4-0, fucking Alan, you've got a PlayStation. Hopefully it can be a jubilant giveaway that exceeds all expectations. But yeah, if you want to be in with a chance of winning the remaining gifts and of course the PlayStation on the January the 6th, join and become a member. Click the little join button below the video. Choose which tier you'd like to join. You get all sorts of other good stuff as well. You get members only podcasts, behind the scenes video. This week, I'm going to be giving Mitz a haircut because he obviously locked down, can't go to barbers anymore.
Can I just say as well that Mitz is fully on board with this? Don't think that Joel just said you're having a haircut.
It's not going to be like asleep while we're doing it. Yeah, there's loads of extra stuff for members, and we're going to be continuing these giveaways throughout the year. So we're not stopping here. It's not like, oh, we've got a PlayStation, cheers. Every single month, we're going to be doing different giveaways, different things, T-shirts, merch, other big giveaways as well. So join and become a member. There's plenty of stuff to stick around for, and it helps the channel as well. So, you know, every little helps. And of course, we're trying to give back as well. And who don't want a Sony PlayStation 5? Let's be honest, Jay.
And regardless of, I know I'm told that Sony PlayStation 5s are re-good, as you'd say.
They're re-good,
as the kids say. But also, as extra content there, I've been putting out some behind-the-scenes videos, some funny vids as well that you can check out. And even if you're not a member, make sure you are subscribing. That's been Joe Smith. You know where to find him. He's all over socials.
JoeSmith93 on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yeah, doing his tweets and his posts and stuff. Being all funny and that.
Dirty online
United supporting bastard. I've been Jay Motti. This has been the Manchester United versus Manchester City Carabao Cup semi-final preview. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.